Hi, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. I'm going to need a few minutes to fire up my computer and look into the comprehensive plan at those two documents.
Okay.
You were at the planning board meeting in April, right, when the planning board approved this?
No.
No? Okay. Those agendas are still on the website, right, for the city, for the planning board?
Not for this project, no.
Yeah, if you go on the city's website, all the agendas and all the items are cataloged, if you will, on the planning board agenda page.
Yes, thank you. I did look it up on my cell phone, but it's teeny.
Right.
And I could pick it up pretty quickly, so I'll
give you a chance. I just get nervous
when
you say you didn't know about the project.
No, no, I picked it up. Well, I'll go with my other questions while he's getting that. So what we see is a trend away from residential near airports because of the air quality concerns, noise concerns, and really it's commercial or industrial or office medical. That's what we're kind of expecting near the airport. And that's probably what the airport wants to deal with. There's a couple of things that were mentioned. RIAC doesn't have the power of eminent domain. Citizens that have been following airport news, we kind of know this. It's the Rhode Island Development Corporation, their mother agency, I guess you want to call it. They have the power of eminent domain. And for them to put a project in improper zoning, conflicting zoning area, they have to meet some legal steps, criteria, to qualify for that. So I'm not that concerned about what RIAC's going to do, because they probably want parking. And parking you can have anywhere, so it doesn't have to be associated with the airport. So they might lose that battle. They've lost battles at the Red Bean Garage because it has to be something unique to an airport to take something by eminent domain and use it for a use different than what the zoning is. So I kind of favor more a commercial medical office, something there, and not residential. I was going to ask the developer or speaker, has a phase one, phase two been conducted, or is there need for one?
My client's done a phase one analysis, and it came back clean, and there was no need to do a phase two.
Good deal. Thank you. On the other side of the fence for the airfield, how far is the fuel farm? And we call farm because there's a few tanks.
I don't know. We didn't measure that out. It's not on our property.
Is it right behind the property or further north?
Further away. It's closer down Airport Road.
So it's closer north. It's north of your site.
I would say it's south, isn't it? The airport, as you go south down Airport Road.
You can see the fuel farm from Airport Road when you look down where the light is. And I think there's, I don't know if it's a liquor store, campaign headquarters, down that street. And you can see the fuel farm. How close is this site to that?
The engineer is trying to calculate it, but it's not.
Okay.
It's not adjacent to your site. It's not abutting. It's not adjacent.
Okay.
It doesn't concern my client. So,
okay.
You know, they haven't done any analysis because it's not a concern for them.
Okay. All right. So if this is inside the decibel contour that RIAC does sound insulation, what is the deal with that, with this new development?
I'll let the engineer speak on that. How's that?
Okay.
Just identify yourself. Please.
Brandon Carr with DePreet Engineering. The question was about sound insulation.
Well, RIAC has a sound insulation program, not soundproofing, okay. But they will insulate homes that are inside the 68, I think it's 68 decibel, and louder conditions. And there's a Part 150 study that needs to be updated once in a while to look at the new contours. But if this project, have you looked at it? If this project falls within the Part 150, 68 decibel contour?
We haven't gotten that far with the building design. We're still at the preliminary land permitting stages. So we have had discussions with the architectural team about acoustic insulation. So if there are programs available, I'm sure we'll attempt to take them into the design.
Okay, it's a voluntary program. You don't have to insulate your home with Bryac windows.
Yep.
But I just don't know where you fall in that decibel area.
Something we can look into.
Okay,
thank
you. I think that the delay of regular tax stream revenue from this project comes at a time when WARC taxpayers are going to get a sticker shock when we get our tax bills because of the two new schools and the bonds. We need the money now. And we are, taxpayers are subsidizing this project in a way because somebody's going to meet that number of the city budget that the council votes on every year. Somebody has to. So if this project doesn't come up and pay their share right from the start, WARC taxpayers are going to make up the difference one way or another. And it's, I don't want to sound blunt like that, but that's in effect, it's a subsidized public project. And it comes at a time we're going to get a tax increase because of these school bonds. It's not a good time for our taxpayers. The other suggestion I have, you can always, count, this is for the council's consideration, do a deed restriction. I mean, you have like an agreement restriction, but you could do a deed restriction so that this project, if public money is helping it get started and making it attractive, that the rules of the game don't change so that the developer makes out more than the taxpayers receive in benefits in having this site developed. So deed restriction is another mechanism you could consider. It could be something like it shall be remain residential, it shall have a percentage of affordable housing, it shall, whatever you want. But that is another mechanism I'd like to mention. I think that about covers it. I just needed the present zoning and the future comprehensive land use map. And like I said, I have it very teeny. to me, it looks... If a developer can look at mine small, I can blow it up for you, if that helps. But I'm not quite sure where you're located. It looks like technology, light industry, maybe? I'm not sure.
Hi, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. The current zoning is gateway, and consistent with city center, the future land use map is high-density residential and mixed use in this area.
Okay. So this future land use map is going to be updated to reflect that?
Yeah.
Okay. So present zoning again. I'm sorry, I missed that, Tom. Thank you.
Gateway.
Gateway.
Gateway District, right.
Okay. Thank you. Like I said, this is new to the public. If it's new to you too, I just let you consider if you want to hold this, sleep on it, talk to some people. We want to make sure the taxpayers get a really good benefit out of this. And we have eyesores and undeveloped sites throughout the city. That doesn't bother me. I'm kind of used to it. But it's coming at a time to give a tax break to a developer when the taxpayers are not going to get a break. We're going to get a big increase. Thank you.
Is anyone else here to speak on the project? Is anyone else here to speak on the project? Is anyone else here to speak on the project? All right, if someone, do we close the public hearing first?
Nope.
All right, so first go to Attorney Walsh.
Thank you, Council President. Attorney Shikarchi and either solicitor or mayor, I just want to get a couple of things on record prior to closing the public hearing. This is more technical based on the way we're authorizing. If the council were to vote in favor, we're authorizing to give you the discretion to finalize these details. And so if you would both just confirm that should the council approve the treaty, would the following modifications be made to the agreement One, to convert from semi-annual to quarterly payments. If I could just get an affirmation from both parties.
Sure. I mean, let me just ask this question. Right now, today, you can pay your tax bill once a year in September. That doesn't change. Am I correct?
I would suggest to the council that we, actually, it's a very fair point, that the amendment be made to treat it the same as any other property taxpayer currently does. So that essentially we would just take away that semi-annual option and make it a standard practice of the city.
That's good with us.
Fine with us.
And regarding the five-year prohibition on conversions to condominiums, some sort of language would be inserted into that final agreement.
No objection.
No objections.
Okay. Satisfactory, Councilman?
I'm fine with Mr. Sakachi's comment as far as you want to pay it up front. Perfect.
So with those in mind, the mayor, if the council were to approve this, we're authorizing them to finalize those details accordingly with these modifications. So they're on record saying they will do so in that paperwork. So I'm all set there.
Mr. President, I do have one question in my last few seconds.
Can we close public the public hearing first? And then
I'd like to get it on the record.
I think it's goes on the record either one, no?
It's what? Just a
The record continues either way.
Okay.
So do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
All right, so moved by Councilman Foley, Councilman Napper, seconded by Councilman Mito. Any objections? All right, seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Councilman Lattiser, you got 20 seconds.
I need just a confirmation. So assuming this deal goes through, in the previous years, we've been collecting roughly $68,000 a year in taxes for the land, correct? And that will continue?
Yes.
Over the next 5 years. So it's not like we're not getting any tax revenue. We're getting the same tax revenue per year as we were for the previous 5 years.
Exactly, Councilman. Except for revals where it's raised it.
Correct. Thank you.
All right. And it'll be obvious by my vote soon, but I stand with what most of the council people have mentioned as far as why they support this. I'm not going to reiterate it. It's a waste of time. But ditto, basically. Councilman Foley.
I move the question. Favorable action.
Motion made for favorable action. Second it. Any comments on the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Mito. So any further questions on approval of the resolution? Seeing none, is a motion for favorable action. So clerk can call the roll. Yes.
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 Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr.
Ray? Yes.
Yes, motion
passed. Thank you very much.
And thank you, as always, Speaker. All right. So before we go back to let me spread this out. Before we go to exec, we're going to go back to, or go to intergovernmental quick, because we've had two individuals waiting for hours now as part of an appointment. So does anyone have any objection to that? All right, seeing none, we can convene intergovernmental.
All right, good evening. Time is 8:31 and intergovernmental comes to order. First order of business, acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on July 7th. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're going to take care of this one because Ms. Casey has graciously waited for the bulk of our business here this evening. So first up is an appointment to the Historical Cemeteries Commission, Valerie Casey of Ward 5. Do any of the all the paperwork is in order? We've got a bio for Ms. Casey, and we love to add volunteers to this commission. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments on this appointment? Members of the council, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would strongly support Valerie Casey's appointment for this position. I have known her for many years. Her resume, as I'm sure you've all seen, is extremely impressive and super qualified to do this. Her involvement into the community has always been first and foremost, and it's very, it's really good when we have people that are willing to volunteer their time and their energy for the betterment of the city. And Valerie and her family, for that matter, have been doing this for years and years and years. So I'm very happy to support you in this position, and thank you for willing to serve.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
Councilman.
Ed's fine. Just like Joe, Ed's fine.
All right, thank you. We won't hold the councilman's kind comments against you. any other members of the council? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Casey, would you like to say anything tonight?
I'm just honored that I'm able to care for our founding fathers and our founding families, and Peg has just been amazing and is teaching me so much, and it's just a very positive thing going forward.
Great.
And I'll continue to care for our founders and families.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's very important, and this is a very important commission for the city. Any other members of the public have anything to add? Absolutely. Step right up to the microphone, Peggy.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to tell you a little story, if I may, how I came to know Valerie. Several years ago, we did a renovation of a cemetery on Fossmere Court, which is in Mr. Lattice's district. We were doing it. We pulled up headstones. We made a mess. He got calls telling people, you know, that the, in the course of all of that, one of our headstones disappeared. Valerie found it by listening to little kids being pains in the hiney, and ransomed the headstone back for us. So I think that's a great story, and we're very happy to have her.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
And in reference to that headstone, we just put it, Sarah was placed back after 2 years, and we just put her back, and she has a beautiful stone. And it was a very successful. Back with her mom and dad.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for your commitment. Any other members of the public? Any other members of the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion on Valerie Casey's appointment to the Historical Cemeteries Commission.
Motion move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And with that, we will recess and let the council.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're gonna pause here.
Yep. Boom. And just to confirm, there's no one else here waiting for appointments, right? All right.
We're not going to recess. We're going to take care of the one additional appointment, and that is Elizabeth Colt to the Land Trust Commission. Similarly, Ms. Colt's bio is included in all of your packets to at least my satisfaction. Do any other members of the committee have questions or comments at this time?
Just one quick question I had. I knew her as Professor Colt at Roger Williams when I was a student there, and I can speak directly to her character. She would be a fantastic addition to this commission, so I applaud you for getting her on board.
Excellent.
Yes. I twisted that on.
You're working hard, Jane. Thank you so much.
Yes. I would just point out that actually Daniel Fagan also on your list. These are both reappointments to the Land Trust.
Excellent.
Both wonderful continuing members, so I'm here to support their reappointment. They did not appear because it is a reappointment and weren't required.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Any other members of the committee?
I want to thank you for all the work you're doing, the land trust and rebuilding it, and looking forward to seeing all the great things you're going to do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Any members of the council?
Other than to say I'm glad she's coming back for more. Professor Colt's great.
Yes, sir. Okay, any members of the public that we have not yet heard from? Members of the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to move favorable action. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
And finally, Daniel Fagan, also to the Land Trust. This is a reappointment. As with all of our boards and commissions, we're very grateful for the volunteer service here. Any members of the commission have any members of the committee have any questions or comments on Mr. Fagan's appointment? Members of the council? Seeing none, members of the public. We thank you, Ms. Austin, for your comments earlier. Do I have a motion?
Motion move favorable. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and we will recess now at this point at 8:39 p.m. Yep.
So I apologize for the ping-ponging, and there'll be more, unfortunately. But for now, the full council is reconvening regarding an executive session matter, and we'll bump to council council solicitor.
I'm going to read a motion and to go to executive. You'll move it.
Yeah, so Councilman, as noticed on the agenda, the City Council will now proceed towards executive session. Councilman Lattiser moves the council convening to executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 4246-5A2 regarding pending litigation. In particular, this is discussion and vote on approval of and participation in Purdue Pharma bankruptcy and Sackler settlement, approximately $8 billion, and Alvogen Amneal Apotec Hikma Indivior Mylan Sum Pharmaceuticals Zydus and Sandoz settlement, approximately $1.2 billion, regarding In Re National Prescription Opiate Litigation, case number 17-MD-2804, and to authorize the city solicitor's office to review, execute, and deliver any documents necessary to effectuate such approval and participation. Seconded by
Councilman Kirby. Seconds it.
Councilman Foley and Councilman Kirby.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Abstentions? All right.
Council now stands in executive session.
We now stand in executive session. See you all shortly. With the solicitor's report.
The Warwick City Council convened into executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 4246-5A2 regarding pending litigation, discussion and vote on approval of and participation in Purdue Pharma bankruptcy and Sackler settlement, approximately $8 billion, and Alvogen Amneal Apotex Hikma Indivior Mylan Sum Pharmaceuticals Zydus and Sandoz settlement, approximately $1.2 billion. Regarding In Re National Prescription Opiate Litigation, case number 17-MD-2804, and to authorize the city solicitor's office to review, execute, and deliver any documents necessary to effectuate such approval and participation. The council unanimously approved three votes, the first of which was to authorize the solicitor to approve and participate in the settlement. The second was to seal the minutes, and the third was to reconvene into open session. That concludes the report.
All right, so in the theme of the continued ping-ponging, we're going to go to ordinance as we have the city solicitor here.
Time is 9 o'clock, and the ordinance committee is now in session. First order of business is acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on June 16th, 2025. Do I have a motion? Motion made by Councilman Ricks. Do I have a second? Second by Councilman DeLuise. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Motion passes. Thank you. All right, first order of business, PCO 6-25, an ordinance to prohibit through trucking on Orchard Avenue. Councilman Sanapi, I'll defer to you.
So if this could please be held until, we'll go with October 20th, please.
CP makes a request to hold this. Any objection? Okay. Hearing none, so held till October 2nd.
20th.
October 20th. And second order of business, PCO 13-25, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. This was docketed by Council President Sanapi on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. And I believe we have someone from administration.
I entirely defer to the administration on this one. It's on their behalf.
Good evening, Bill Facente, Chief of Staff to Mayor Picozzi. The administration's asking to clean up Chapter 2-14, the assignment of tax title and treasurer's auction property by the city. Currently, as it's written, the administration believes it's in violation of the state law, and the solicitor is here to talk about it as well. There are 1,100 plus or minus tax title properties in the city of Warwick that are in various states of tax title, whether the city possesses the tax title or there's a private entity that has the tax title. And we're looking to clean up the list to allow for the transfer of these tax title properties to become viable, developable parcels instead of sitting in perpetuity and not being able to maximize the tax revenue from those properties. So if you have any questions specific, basically what it does is it cleans up the language and makes it consistent with state law, around General Law 44-9-18.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from the members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I have a few concerns, some of which were expressed by a member of the public who is present here this evening. But to get to one of the more discreet ones, I'm looking at the first page, starting at the end of line 42. That's the portion that reads, in the event that more than one person seeks assignment of the tax title for a single parcel, then the tax title shall be assigned to the person who first tenders the redemption price to the city and signs the above referenced form. So I imagine that, and I had a conversation earlier just very recently with the city solicitor about the potential for policies, but the ordinance as it's presently written, I do have a concern about that language and would prefer if we were able to make an amendment to that language so that on paper, this doesn't look like a Best Buy on Black Friday situation.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Yeah, I understand what the issue is. Clearly, the city under both the statute 44-918 as well as the U.S. Supreme Court case Tyler versus Hennepin County cannot collect more than what it is owed. It can collect what it is owed, interest, penalties, etc., but it can't collect any more than that. So it is critical that we go back to fixing the ordinance so that we're not in a position where we're trying to find the original owner and all their heirs and have overpayments made. So we just don't even want to go there. The issue that you're bringing up, though, involves, I guess, a race to the finish line. Who gets there first? If there's more than one person interested in the property, how does the city decide? And they're both willing to make full payment, interest, late fees, et cetera. How does the city go about deciding who is it that gets that property? And it may very well be so that we avoid a race to the finish line, that that we eliminate that line and we adopt a procedure whereby if there is, you know, we set a deadline for individuals to put in their bid, so to speak, for the property, and then it becomes a lot, you know, some kind of lottery. The city administration will certainly have to come up with a policy to implement the ordinance if this council deems fit to adopt the changes as we are suggesting. If this is an issue for the council, we can simply eliminate that last line. We don't even have to reference that contingency because we can deal with that when we come up with the administrative policy on how to deal with a situation like that. It won't be in the ordinance, and therefore we'll have the options, whether it be a lottery or some other way of determining. The point being, we'll come up with something that's fair and equitable to everyone.
Thank you. Briefly, I suppose, to bring up some other concerns that were raised. I'll let the constituents speak as to some of these concerns, but I'll jump into one of the items, neighbor and conservation interests. So I believe that in the past, there had been provisions in the ordinance for consultation with certain departments or groups within the city. Make sure that if before a tax title is actually put up to the public, see if the city may have an interest there relating to conservation. So wanted to see if there was a way to address that type of concern. This, I suppose, is more specific to vacant open space type properties.
So the city, if it wanted to, once it took tax title to a property, and if the city saw fit to want to include it in its open space inventory, so to speak, the city could go through the process of foreclosing the right of redemption on that property and could eventually own it. But the city would have to go through that process in Superior Court to foreclose the right of redemption. Now, that option's open to the city right now. It will continue to be open to the city at any time going forward. And it is my understanding that when properties go up for tax sale, that they are viewed to see whether or not they are consistent with some of the city's other goals, whether it be for open space or other preservation purposes. But that process is available today and would be after this amendment.
Mr. Asil, just a quick question, and I'm not a real estate attorney, so I would defer to you on this. Is Rhode Island a race notice state?
I'm sorry, is it a what?
Is Rhode Island a race notice state for purposes of like recording deed, recording property interest? Do you know?
Well, so unless if someone signs a deed and does not record it right away, and the owner of that property signs a second deed to someone else that does get recorded, and that second owner is a bona fide purchaser who does not have any knowledge whatsoever, then yes, that would take precedent. Whatever deed is recorded first would take precedence.
Okay.
As long as it were a bona fide purchaser.
So I think perhaps the last sentence here that my brother's looking to eliminate would have some sort of tie at least to the race notice provisions that the state
which
typically
is,
recognizes. So and I understand the issue of, you know, bringing it to trying to get people first to the finish line, so to speak. So if we were to contemplate an administrative proceeding after eliminating that line, perhaps we should tie in some sort of provision that, you know, the first to get their paperwork in has some sort of leg up on other parties so that we can stay consistent with the race notice theorem that we follow in the state. But I would support an amendment to eliminate that last line if there's no objection by the administration.
And I, there is no objection. I would agree with the outcome that you just described. It would also address that.
And Chairman, if I may clarify, it is a little bit different of a problem than what the race notice would tend to try to satisfy here, because really this is more of an issue of equity, so to speak, as to the potential purchasers and avoiding the potential for any insider shenanigan type issues. Really a matter of transparency to the public and the equity, so that the city is not conveying all of the profitable opportunities of receiving a tax title to one single individual or one single entity. That's why the lottery would come in place as a potential solution to that. So there's certainly parallels there, but it is a different type of issue, because here, instead of the potential problem of two different purchasers, each bona fide being, effectively the seller selling the same piece of land twice, this is something where the seller is selling hundreds of pieces of property, well, not pieces of property, but tax title interest in hundreds of pieces of property once on a regular basis on that type of schedule, as it happens to come up on an annual or more or less annual type of basis.
Just a couple of lawyers lawyering. Any other comments from the members of the committee? Comments from the members of the full council? Mr. Muto. Councilman Lattice, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To start off with, I always get concerned when I see an entire item being deleted and redrawn, redrafted. That always perks up my concerns. Some of the concerns I have here is where there's so much power put into the hands of the city treasurer. I have a concern with that. It also says here on line 29, the treasurer shall exercise this discretion under the supervision of the finance director as set forth in section 6-10 to the city charter, and ultimately the mayor, pursuant to section 6-1 of the city charter, and in consultation with any other member of the city administration. You've heard me say this lots of times. This city council is not going to be the same city council in 10 years from now, 5 years from now. The same thing holds true with the mayor. It's different people, it's constantly changing, different treasurers, different tax assessors. So I have a concern where this will allow the mayor, ultimately allow the mayor to sell city property without any oversight on our part. That's the way I interpret it. It says, and ultimately the mayor. It also is a concern where the city wants to exempt itself. And it says, acknowledging that the city bears no liability and makes no representation with regard to the parcel for which tax title is assigned, and waiving any claims against the city relating to the parcel for which the tax title is assigned. So if the city makes an error and there's a misrepresentation or sells off a property that it shouldn't have, there's no liability there. The very last line, I had several concerns, but that apparently has been offered by Solicitor Asillo to eliminate those items. I mean, those few lines. The I guess I sit here and I say, okay, so, you know, what prompted this to surface? Who was involved in determining that, oh, shit, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you know, this doesn't make sense anymore. And when these properties are sold, it's very vague on the prices of the properties. So there's no redemption prices. What happens, you know, this property is taken over by the city, and there's a tax lien on a property of $200,000, let's say, and city turns around and sells the house for $400,000, or whoever holds possession of that tax title. These are things that I just don't understand. There's other series of questions here that I'm not going to belabor tonight. I will, being that this is an ordinance and requires two passes, I will do an affirmative on this, but certainly will allow myself the opportunity to change my mind once I review, as an example, a document that we was just given today and other questions and concerns that have been presented to me by constituents and more than likely will be presented to this body this evening. So for right now, I rest my case for the time being, and I'm anxious to hear from the constituents that are here this evening who have far more knowledge and understanding in this than I.
I'm going to ask Neil to come to the microphone because he can explain the process, how it currently occurs. The whole matter came to light when our office received a number of questions about how to go about doing this, given what the state law said and given that new Supreme Court decision that came down in 2023. But let me have Neil address some of this. Obviously, we're dealing with tax title. The city doesn't own any of these properties. We just have a lien on it for the taxes.
So, Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. I think the impetus of this is that there's very egregious steps you have to go through in noticing the prior years and sometimes the difficulty and the expense in doing that. And in the real world, if I held the tax title, not the city, I can just transfer my tax title interest and then the person that buys it goes through that process. Or if they already have the right of redemption, if they got that from the person that lost the property, they now have fee simple title. So they don't have to go through that process if they buy a tax title interest and work with the person that lost the property at tax sale to buy their right of redemption. Now you have the full bundle. So a lot of properties would have sat there for decades because we had no way to really go through the process because the notice requirements would be too egregious to have to go through. So this really simplifies the whole thing. The other part of it that was difficult is we had the restriction in there in the previous ordinance that you couldn't do anything with the property. So unless it was an abutter that wanted it, and in most cases the abutters would just use it anyway, why should I buy and pay taxes for it if the city can't sell it to somebody else? So a lot of these properties just sat there.
So another concern I have as an example is with water sewer bills, right? So the properties, you can put one of these properties up for repossession or a tax sale as we've done in the past because they haven't paid a few hundred dollars in a water sewer bill. My concern is with notice or lack of notice. What's occurring right now where, so I happen to be the property that's going up for tax sale. Councilman Gebhardt is the abutter. And I think this takes away his opportunity to make first offer on this. Do I interpret that correctly or?
Well, are you saying the tax sale shouldn't have taken place in the first place until proper notice was given, or you're saying once we already took the tax title?
Well, I suppose it's once, you know, the tax title, or even before it gets out there, that in this example, Councilman Gebhardt has an opportunity to buy this property or has the first right at the tax sale. I'm not properly perhaps using the right terminology, but I think you get the gist of what I'm talking about.
I mean, it's a valid point that you might want to add to the ordinance that the any abutter would have the right of first refusal, something like that.
So we would not be able to give preference actually under the law, just because it has to be a fair and equitable process. We would not be able to say an abutter has the right of first refusal. On the other hand, as Mr. Dupuy has stated, many the issue we're facing here is many of these properties are just sitting there. The abutter has no incentive to buy it from the city for the cost of the taxes, because they're probably using it anyhow. Some situations, I'm sure not all. But we would not be able to give a preference to abutters, but it would seem to me that once it's made known that tax title was up to be assigned to someone, the abutter would take interest. Because I don't know, a lot of these are little thin strips, and I don't know who out there would be interested. They're not buildable, for one thing. Why they would want to own it, unless maybe it had a view and they wanted to put an Adirondack chair out there. I know I'm being a little facetious, but my point is that what we're trying to do is get abutters to do exactly what you're suggesting, which is to take ownership of the property and for the city to be able to collect taxes on that property.
And would there still be a requirement? I think that there is a Rhode Island general law that requires a 10-day notice to the landowner.
We would comply with whatever Rhode Island laws require with regard to assignment of tax title. That supersedes what we do anyhow. So we absolutely would meet all of the requirements of Rhode Island law. Again, as Mr. Dupuy was saying, there are two different procedures that take place. One is a tax sale. That's when that's when the owner of the property is told, hey, your taxes are due. You haven't paid taxes in 1 year, 2 years, whatever the time period is. If you don't pay taxes, we're going to put this up for a tax sale, which means some outsider can come in, purchase the tax title of your property for whatever the amount of taxes are that are due. And then from that point, that person has 1 year to wait before they can foreclose the right of redemption and take the property away from you forever. That requires lots of notice. It requires superior court approval, court order. At every step of the way, that requires notice to the original owner. However, there are some properties, they go up for tax sale, and no one is interested in purchasing them because it's not a buildable lot. It doesn't have a house on it. It doesn't have a view. It's just, in the minds of many people, a worthless piece of property. In that case, at the tax sale, no one comes and bids on it. No one. And that's when it sort of reverts to the city. And now we're holding the tax title. What we're trying to do through this ordinance is a method whereby we assign that tax title to someone else, whether it's an abutter, whether it's to some other third party. Once that tax title is assigned to someone else, that someone else now has the responsibility for foreclosing the right of redemption and going through that whole long process of notice, of finding heirs, of doing all the things that the law requires. Now, it may be worthwhile, as I told Councilman Ricks earlier, it may be worthwhile if the city winds up with a tax title to one of these properties that no one else is interested in purchasing, and if it, say, abuts open space the city already owns, or there's some other good reason for the city to own that property, then the city itself can go through that process of foreclosing the right of redemption over that 1 year period, et cetera. But obviously, those decisions would be made on an individual basis. But the short answer to your good question is we would have to abide by all the notice requirements as required by law. We'd have to, or else we'd have a massive lawsuit on our hands.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll stand down.
Thank you, Chairman. Councilman Muto.
Thank you. So Councilman Lattiser touched on a few of them, but not all. So I agree with what Councilman Lattiser said, is when you see basically everything redlined and then you just started from scratch. It seems to me the impetus of this was to make things a little easier, but also get in line with state law.
State law and U.S. Supreme Court.
U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
So, again, I'll be honest with you. I haven't read this because we got this at a late hour. So I'm actually uncomfortable even giving an affirmative at this point. Is when I look at the red area, you know, my question is line for line. What, you know, is it state law? Is it, you know, what are we crossing out that we violated or not in compliance with state law or the Supreme Court, versus we got rid of a lot? It's almost like we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Hopefully we're not throwing the baby out. We are certainly throwing the bathwater out, because all of this procedure that is in your current ordinance does not pass muster with regard to assignment of tax titles today, or even yesterday with regard to the state law, but certainly today with regard to the U.S. Supreme Court opinion. And if not this evening, Counselor, I am more than happy to answer. And, you know, when you have the time to really dig into it, I understand it's first passage. You don't spend between 2 and 4 in the morning reading through all of this. I am more than happy to respond to questions either through email or on a phone conversation, or certainly when it comes back here for its final hearing.
Let me just ask one question, and then I'll take you up on the rest of it. Is it looks like the onus or the shift in power or decision-making goes from the city council to the administration. And tonight we vote on things that are abatements for taxes. We seem to touch on everything that has to do with taxes or, you know, expense or revenue. But then when we talk about this particular ordinance, where we're in several lines, you know, I'll give you one, line 44 to 46 of what was redlined, which was under the council's approval, and then it got changed to line 29 to 32 to the administration. It just seems to me that I can't see state law or Supreme Court saying, hey, it goes to the mayor versus the city council. So to me, that seemed like, hey, that was part of the baby's left arm that you just threw out.
Yeah.
So I'm questioning the incentive and the motivation for that.
That's fair. The incentive or the motivation is just we took this from what most other municipalities do. It's usually an administrative task to deal with tax title properties. I'm not aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, if in the past, before the city assigned a tax title, it came to the city council. Certainly somewhere along the way, I'm sure the city council must get lists of such things in terms of what's being done, but it's not at all unusual for administrations to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. But I am more than happy to give you a longer response to that.
I'll make one more comment, is that I am totally against this. So I just think it's too much overreach in a short amount of time. I would much rather have a clearer explanation before we even do first passage, but that's really up to the council. But it just seems like there's an awful lot of, we're going to push this through without proper consideration. Yeah. So and your point of, just because other municipalities do this, we're the city of Warwick. We're doing it our way, which is what the council will be voting on this evening.
And my only concern is that our way is consistent with the law. That's all. But I've taken note of the issues that have been raised so far. I'm sure there'll be others. And I will put together a secondary memo that will address this prior to this coming out in October.
Okay. I'd actually appreciate the first memo so I can understand what the impetus was. So having this land on our desk in our emails literally for, I think, 4 hours before this council meeting is totally unacceptable.
Councilman, I'm happy to address that. That was a miscommunication that I believed everyone had it. So it's not to fault the administration on the late notice of that memorandum.
But it's still, it hit us. So we haven't had a chance to review it. So I don't think it's proper for us as a council to vote on something or consider something when we literally have 4 hours and some of us 0 hours to even look at something, something as vital as tax sales in our city. I agree that we need to clean up the mess. You know, I have constituents that I'm sure are part of the drivers of this. However, I just want to be thoughtful with it. And I don't think an extra month of holding this for consideration for first passage is too much to ask of something so vital in our community.